Fighting in Darfur in western Sudan is on the rise, now with a new twist. One of the rebel groups that had been fighting the government and its Janjaweed militias has now joined forces with the government and is attacking other rebel groups. And in this climate, the already dire humanitarian situation is getting even worse. John Prendergast with the International Crisis Group is just back from a trip to Darfur and refugee camps in neighboring Chad. He joins us now. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
What signs do you see there that a major offensive has already started?
Well, I think you've got more than signs. I mean, the offensive has started. They're assaulting rebel positions and, more importantly, civilian areas that are deemed sympathetic to the rebels on three different fronts in North Darfur. They're using regular government forces and, of course, the Air Force that comes with it. They're using Janjaweed forces, and they're also using the forces of Mini Manawi, who you mentioned in the introduction.
This is the rebel group. Help us understand this shifting alliance here. His group is the only one that signed a peace deal with the government in May and is now siding with that government.
Yeah, this is a long history of in Sudan under this regime of the government wooing and otherwise buying off rebels with individual incentives to come over to the side of the government and fight on the government's behalf. Mini Manawi is just the latest Benedict Arnold that sort of turned in his rebel credentials for a house, a good job, and a nice car. It's a worst-case scenario for Darfurians because he's now the pointy edge of the stick of this offensive, and he's out there attacking villages. He's acting as if he's no better than Janjaweed militias who preceded him.
Now, the UN Security Council has just passed a resolution that would authorize a UN peacekeeping force in Darfur. The Sudanese government has said no to that. What happens now?
Yeah, this is the worst form of posturing that we see from the United Nations Security Council. Not one resolution they've passed in the last 3.5 years since this conflict started has had any meaningful impact on the ground in Darfur. To pass a resolution led, of course, as usual, by the United States, authorizing a UN force before you get the consent of the government for that force, I mean, it just simply makes the situation worse.
But there is a meeting, I believe, next week at the UN with representatives of the Sudanese government. Wouldn't maybe some of that pressure being exerted there?
We then have to go to Webster's and find out what pressure means. I don't think offering incentives to this regime, like having a meeting between President Bush and President Bashir, which is something the U.S. just offered Bashir, the president of Sudan, if he'll only acquiesce to allowing this UN force, is the way to go. We're not addressing the fundamental structures of violence in Sudan. We're trying to lure and buy off the regime for incremental advances in the situation. And we've really got to go after the fundamentals here, or else the situation is going to continue to deteriorate.
So what would you have the U.S. or, say, the UN do?
The policy up till now has been a policy of constructive engagement, of incentives, and I think we need to go the opposite way, to punitive measures. First, to impose targeted sanctions on senior officials in the regime who are responsible for the horrible crimes against humanity that have been perpetrated in Darfur. Second, to supply information from the United States to the International Criminal Court in order to accelerate the process of building indictments against senior officials in the regime.
If a UN peacekeeping force were to go in with the mandate that the UN has given it, which is a stronger mandate, do you think it could make a difference on the ground?
Sure, if. And I think that, you know, to get there, we've got to get the government's consent. If we just increase the number of forces on the ground through a UN force, but don't change that mandate, don't have the forces actually protecting civilians from rape and murder, then we're not going to see change in Darfur.
John Prendergast, thanks very much.
Thank you.
John Prendergast is senior advisor with the International Crisis Group.